Good morning, everyone. As the snow begins to fall in Washington, D.C., there are at least, by my count, 25, 26 or so people in Washington who will have a reason to stay indoors for 6 hours that has nothing whatsoever to do with the snow.
Absolutely nothing, yep. Unless one of them slips and breaks a bone.
Right, and God forbid that that would happen. Right. But at about 10 o'clock Eastern Time, the Healthcare Reform Summit convenes to live television cameras. As the president gathers with prominent Democrats and Republicans to try to hammer out in public some sort of compromise on health care reform. Now, the Constitution makes no mention of summits, but I'm wondering, Daryl West, who's the vice president and director of governance studies at the Brookings Institution, if this whole spectacle pageant summit, call it what you will, looks a little bit like Obama is convening a Supreme Court to overrule gridlock in the traditional Congress of the House of Representatives and the Senate. Daryl?
Well, he does hope to overturn gridlock because right now the two chambers are paralyzed and it's been very difficult to get the momentum to move forward. And I think the summit really provides an opportunity for Democrats to push the reset button. They've introduced some new elements. They have a proposal to give the federal government authority to block excessive insurance premiums. And I think Obama sees this as really his last chance to try and make this sale to the American public and to bring his own party together so they can actually pass health care reform.
Politically, Jonathan Cohn, senior editor for The New Republic, we spoke to you right at the top of the hour. Obama looks really great on television. There's really no dispute about that. But translating that great look on TV into concrete legislation has been a real problem. How does this get us farther down the road?
Well, I think there's two chief goals here. Number one, I think this, everybody says they want bipartisanship. So he's saying, all right, let's give people bipartisanship. Let's put us both in the same room, talk about our ideas. Now, I think I suspect, that we will discover that, in fact, the two parties just have very different ideas here, and that the Republicans, in particular, are at their core not interested in doing health care reform. If that happens, then I think what he wants to do is he wants the American people to see that, and he wants to let the American people know, what is in this bill. Because even though the bill itself is unpopular, when you break it down and you tell people what's in it, remarkably, they like all the elements. So I think this is a chance to sit in front of the American people and say, look, this is what you said you wanted. I know it's been a messy process. I know you're turned off by the deal-making and all of that, but if we can pass this bill, we can actually do something to help you, and you won't have to worry about health care so much anymore.
Although implicitly, you're suggesting that the administration, having not done this up till now, maybe that's one of the key failings. Let's not talk about that for right this second. But Daryl West, governance studies, vice president, director of governance studies at the Brookings Institution. Now, you're aware of some of the disputes and arguments over actually how to frame this entire summit, even how it's going to actually look. How are some of those arguments between Republicans and Democrats about the seating of the chairs indicate the sets of priorities behind the scenes here?
Well, the little things help to set the agenda for the big things. And I think what Democrats really need to do is to play to their strong suit, because even though some elements of health care reform are not very popular, people actually don't like the status quo either. They don't like health insurance companies raising premiums. We've seen some health companies in California propose 25% to 30% increases. That's just simply unacceptable when inflation is running 2% to 3% nationally. They need to basically explain how their insurance changes are going to help the average American get rid of pre-existing conditions and make the plight of Americans better than it is under the current status quo.
Well, but does that mean they're arguing about who's going to use PowerPoint, who's not, who's going to have charts, who's not, who's going to be sitting near the podium, lectern or no lectern?
The biggest argument actually was over who would actually attend the summit. President Obama actually invited Republican Senator Olympia Snow because her own Republican leadership had not invited her. She ended up declining. And then Republicans invited a Democrat, Congressman Bart Stupak, who has been the author of this controversial anti-abortion amendment.
Right. And so that indicates that clearly the bipartisan interest of the administration in talking to Olympia Snow is one issue, and making sure that abortion question is in the debate is certainly an interest for the Republicans, right?
Absolutely, because each side understands the weaknesses of the opposition. So not only do they want to make their own case, they want to exploit some of the internal divisions that exist on the other side.
Jonathan Cohn, senior editor for the New Republic, can I like hammer you with a possibly controversial premise here?
Please.
All right. The lesson supposedly of all administrations is when you get a mandate, you do the hard stuff first because you're not going to have much of a chance to do it later on in the administration when you get closer to re-election time and the congressional off-year elections, that sort of thing. Perhaps the lesson is just the obvious, is just the opposite here, that if you take Clinton plus Obama, doing health care first is actually a huge mistake. What do you think about that?
Well, Clinton didn't do health care first, right? I mean, he did NAFTA, he did budget, and then he didn't even get to health care until very late in his first year. And there is this idea out there, well, you know, if only Obama had talked more about jobs, he would be better able to do health care later. Well, what that tends to miss is the fact that, you know, he did talk about jobs. He didn't do more about jobs because the Senate wouldn't let him do more about jobs.
Although there's an argument there. I mean, 17 Republicans crossed the line yesterday in the Senate vote on the jobs bill.
Well, funny, once they were able to break the filibuster to get the actual vote, 17 Republicans crossed the aisle. And I think there's a lesson about the Republican hypocrisy here, which is that they are trying to – you have senators voting to stop votes who say, no, 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 we can't have this vote, we can't have this vote. And then when the bill actually comes up and they're actually going to be held accountable for that vote, they want to be on the winning side. They want to be the ones who helped to bring jobs to the American people. Substantively, I think that jobs bill we just passed is pretty small stuff. It's only $15 billion. It's a drop in the bucket. And that actually, you know, gets back to what I was saying before, which is that, he did jobs and he couldn't do more on jobs because the Senate wouldn't do more on jobs.
So maybe this is a way of finding small stuff in health care and getting that passed. So very, very quickly, Jonathan, and again, I get in trouble whenever I say that, but Jonathan Cohn, is this an infomercial or not? It sounds like you're saying it's not an infomercial.
I do not think so.
Darryl,
I think, in fact,
Darryl West, your view?
I agree. I think this is really the last opportunity to explain to the American public why we need to do this and why reforming health care is actually crucial for long-term economic competitiveness, because
All right, well.
Small businesses simply can't survive the current high cost of health care.
All right. So 6 hours perhaps well spent. Darryl West, Vice President and Director of Governance Studies at the Brookings Institution, and Jonathan Cohn, Senior Editor for the New Republic. Thanks so much.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.